So today, what I would like to do is, by the way, how about Sonny on the keyboard this morning? Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Very good. Okay. We want to continue on with the resurrection appearances, and what we want to look at today is James, so we'll unpack that a bit. As I was thinking about it, I was reminded of the story that our bishop, Bishop Goff, has shared on occasion, and she has this take on that verse that where Jesus says, you know, I stand at the door and knock. He who hears my voice and opens up and lets me in, I'll come in and eat with him and he with me. So, that's familiar to many of us. Of course, there's that great, well-known portrait, you know, painting of Jesus knocking at the door, and there's a lantern. And it's all very encouraging. And she says, all of that is true, but I have a different take on it. And the take is this. Jesus is knocking at the door and says, hey, can you come out? Can you come out with me? Let's go together. Very interesting. Now, if we look at the original verse, of course, you hear Jesus, he comes in, you eat together, and so forth, and that's it. So I think that our bishop's story weaves very nicely in that, because after you go in and you eat together, then what do? Well, you go on out and you do something together, which is, you know, a great thing. And of course, what Jesus is asking us to do is to go out with him to the places where he's going and to be with him. Follow after him and do what he does in those things. And that's what we see, I think, today in the story of James, as we've been looking at 1 Corinthians 15. It's not, we didn't print that today, did we? That's okay, because it's a very short section that I'm going to refer to you. There's this list of the appearances of Jesus after the resurrection, and we've looked at a few of them, and the next in line is there's this half of a verse, 1 Corinthians 15:7, which says, and he appeared to James. So that's easy to memorize. you can catch it. And there's some very powerful things in that phrase. And one of them is that we can know that we are forgiven, that all of our sins are forgiven. And that when we come to Jesus, they're forgiven. And that forgiveness comes, and we can walk in it in the power of the resurrection. We can also know that we are sent. You know, Jesus knocking at the door and says, come out with me. We're sent to follow him. And that comes active in the power of the resurrection. And we can also know that we have a place in the family of God. Which, you know, Jesus comes in, you eat together, you have a place. There's a place in his house, which is at the core of our purpose and what we want to see happen here at St. Francis, where our entire vision and what we plan and do is to invite people into the family of God. And it is by the power and the engagement with that power of the resurrection that we know our place in the family of God. And all that we see in that half verse, and he appeared to James. Now, why do I say that is what you would like to ask me right now, probably. Well, here's why. James, as you may know, this particular James was the brother of Jesus, raised in the house of Mary and Joseph. And as the brother of Jesus, he, of course, saw everything that went on with Jesus. And while Jesus walked the earth, James had nothing to do with him. Absolutely nothing. Was disrespectful, had no time for him. When Jesus was at the synagogue in Nazareth for his first time after the 40 days in the wilderness, and he was beginning his work as a rabbi and gathering the 12 around him, and he came as any visiting rabbi would and was able to read from the scriptures and preach just on the spot, the crowd took great offense, as you may recall, at Jesus, and really rose up against him, and Mary and the others, you know, the brothers and sisters would have been there and did absolutely nothing to stop that. And James was among them. And in that same instance, that congregation took Jesus to the edge of the cliff and they were going to throw him off. Do you remember that? And James would have been there and did nothing to stop them. They didn't say, hey, you can't do that to my brother. None of that. Or who do you think you are? Just watched and would have let them do it. Except you recall Jesus just walked through the crowd and went on his way. That level of uncaring and absolute disrespect is how James lived and how he related to Jesus when Jesus walked the earth. Do you remember one day Jesus is teaching and there's all kinds of people around, the house is full and they're outside, and Mary and the others come, James is among them, and they want to take him away. They want to just get him, drag him out of the house and take him home because they think he has gone absolutely crazy. They think he's certifiably crazy. And James did nothing to say, oh, he's fine. He's in his calling. That's what he should be doing. He agreed. And he went along with that. So what happens? There's a resurrection appearance of Jesus to James. And after that resurrection appearance, James becomes the leader of the church in Jerusalem. Now, we don't know the HR process for that. Who looked at the resume and made the decisions? Except that Jesus put him there. Appointed him the leader. And later it was James who welcomed Paul into the apostolic fellowship of the church there in Jerusalem. And then later it was James who welcomed all the Gentiles into the church. Up to that point, it had been a Jewish group. But here's James, and James is in charge of the big church council in Acts 15, which welcomes all the Gentiles in. He led that effort. He had moved from absolute disrespect of Jesus to being the forerunner, the one who was carrying the desires of Jesus into the world. Very powerful. Now, what does it mean for you and me? Well, one of the things that it means is this. Every time you come here, and any other time you engage with Jesus on your own or in some other setting, what you can know is that your sins are forgiven. Every disrespectful word you have spoken is forgiven. Every act of betrayal that you have perpetrated is forgiven. Every wound that you have received and in turn, at least mentally, wanted to go get them is forgiven. It is all forgiven. And there's nothing, absolutely nothing, that has to be done to earn that forgiveness. When you come forward today to this table, you come forward as a new, clean child of God, forgiven of everything. Which means that you can approach the throne of grace with confidence. You don't have to build up your confidence. You don't have to do all kinds of things ahead of time. You can approach the throne of grace with confidence because every impediment, every block is taken away. Every secret sin of your heart is washed away. and you can approach that with confidence. Now, that's what we see with James. James had a reputation in tradition after a while of being a man of prayer. And I don't know if this is true. I don't know how to verify it, but at least it points to the tradition that his knees were a little, getting a little wide, you know, like camel's knees or something, because of the amount of time in prayer that he spent. And it wasn't to make up for what he had done wrong. You can stand if you can even sit if you pray if you want. You don't have to do that. But James wasn't making up what he did wrong. He was approaching the throne of grace with confidence because his sins had been washed away. And he knew that he was able to do that. Very, very powerful time. And then he goes on knowing that he personally is sent into some work. And that's where he took on the work of the leading the church in Jerusalem, where he was the one who opened the doors, as we mentioned just a minute ago. Let all kinds of people in, all kinds of things. The peak moment of that, if you wish to call it that, comes in Acts chapter 8, where there was a persecution upon the church that was so vicious and so complete that the tens of thousands who had joined the church since the day of Pentecost, all of them left. All of them left except the apostles. That small band of people who were the leaders, they stayed. Now what happened as a result was that the church expanded and grew all throughout that part of the world into Europe at that time. Just powerful, powerful expansion. But the 12 were left there. And James was overseeing that. He was sent into that. He had encouraged those people. He had prayed them into the release that was going to come. He had prayed them past the persecution that was coming after them. And he was able, by example and by his leadership and by what had been set up, was able to raise up the rest of the church to the point where they would overcome direct persecution and go into the extension of the kingdom of God as Jesus wanted them to do. Very powerful. All of that, the forgiveness of sins, knowing into what you are sent, comes from engaging the power of the resurrection. As Jesus sent up with James, when he appeared to James, that's what flowed out of it. When he appears to you, forgiveness and what you are sent into will flow out of that and engaging with Jesus at that point. And it will happen every time. Now, there's one other item that we see here with this appearance to James. And in 1 Corinthians 15:7, it says, and he appeared to James. And then it goes on, a few more words, it says, and to the apostles. Now, if you read the whole section all at once, as soon as you hit that, and the apostles, the question will come to your mind. Well, what apostles were those? Because Peter and all the others, they're mentioned before that, James. Jesus had seen all them, appeared to all them, same with Paul. But here is a mention of the apostles. Why repeat yourself? It's because it was a different group of people. And these apostles, these are the ones who are sent into the world from the church. They aren't the original 12. They are people with apostolic gifting. They are people who are able to start new things, start new groups, start new churches, and off they go. And when that persecution that hit in Acts chapter 8 hit, then it's the apostles, the ones who are gifted in that way, who are going out into the rest of the world. Those are the ones James released. The one who would not whisper a word when people were coming after Jesus to silence him, now could not be kept quiet and sent the apostles of the church into the world. He made a place where people could come into the family of God. And then just like our natural families, there comes a time when we go and start a new family of our own. That's what happened here. James was able to do that so that the families of God, the houses of the Lord, multiplied over and over and over again. And that all came from engaging with the resurrected Christ, from having that happen. It all flowed from that. Now that's the same for us. It's the very same for us. When we know that we're sent because we're engaging with the resurrected Christ, and we also know that we have a place in the family of God, and a place that will open up and multiply over and over again from where we are right now because of the resurrection of Jesus. It's not so much our strategy, so much our good looks, so much our abilities, all of that. It is the resurrection of Jesus that brings us to that point. Even if today, you know, like me, you've got this pollen-induced haze because of the allergies that are around, you barely make it through, that doesn't matter. It is the engagement with the resurrected Jesus that washes away your sin, lets you know that you are sent, and places you in the family of God. And that's where we can have the confidence. So, what would we do about that? Well, I want to encourage you to do this. To ask for, look for, ask God to direct you into the place where you can engage the resurrected Jesus over and over and over again. Jesus risen from the dead. I want to encourage you to do more than agree with that idea. Great place to start. Yes, I agree, Jesus rose from the dead. But to engage Him personally, Him, heart to heart, the one who is risen from the dead, then He would engage you personally in your life. And that the test of it, the way that you know that that's happened, is that you know that your sins are washed away, no matter what they are. That sin that you're holding on to right now, it's like, well, you know, I'm so ashamed of that. That don't let that sin become your friend anymore. It's the resurrected Jesus who will wash that away. And then your calling, knowing into what you are sent, no matter what it is, that you know that you are sent, that you have purpose in the family of God, that you are important and significant, that when you have that, you know you have encountered the resurrected Jesus. And that you know that you have a place, that you belong, that you always belong in the house of the Lord, that there will never be another day in your life where you do not belong in the house of the Lord. When that is the conviction of your heart, the motivation of your life, you know that you have engaged with the resurrected Jesus. What I'm asking you to do is to have a rhythm of life in which you are in front of the resurrected Jesus and He is revealing Himself more and more to you every day of your life. Now, for each and every one of us, the way that that happens would be different. So what's God telling you about how to meet the resurrected Jesus? What step would He have you take right now for that? When you take that step, then there'd be, later on in your life, there'd be another one. Whether it's a week or a month or a year down the road, there'd be another one. so that you keep walking with the resurrected Jesus all the time. Please stand. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your appearance to James and to the other apostles. And we ask that you would appear to us in your resurrected glory. And that would keep happening each and every day. And that you would give us the capacity to live the Christian life you called us to do by the power of your Holy Spirit. And we ask that today for the glory of your name. Amen.